I know some of you may have missed it, may have not seen it, but it was so powerful and so good, and I so appreciate it. And next time, make sure you make it out, because just hearing people share their testimony. We heard a guy being delivered from drugs and having such an encounter with Jesus and experiencing grace and just so many things went on in his life, how God delivered him. And Harlan, I love you, man. God is good. Good to see you this morning. Harlan shared with us, and it gives you an opportunity to get to know people. And it was just a blessing, and thank you everyone who participated in that. Come out next time we have these, about once a quarter, and you're going to be blessed by them. Praise God. Why don't you stand this morning and turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's look at verse 8 through 14. The Christmas story. We're just going to start doing a little teaching on Christmas. I feel like it's so important that we understand the impact that what Jesus did for us when he came into this world for us. Aren't you glad? Amen? And I don't know about you, we have some traditions in our family, and one of the things we do is before we open gifts, we always have someone read the Christmas story. And so we go through this, and we just have a wonderful time of celebrating and enjoying one another and just making it about Jesus. Make every day about Jesus. Amen? You'll never go wrong making your day about Jesus. Praise God. Now they're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Man, that's awesome. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." I always love that, man. God always just comes on the scene, and that's the word he gives us today. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not, little flock. Amen. God is with us. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, the lineage of David. Amen. Jesus was born into the lineage of David. He was the king. He was a priest. He was a prophet. Who is Christ the Lord? And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Praise God. Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it, Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn around and give someone a high five or say hello and say Feliz Navidad. Come on, amen. Feliz Navidad. Praise the Lord. So good to see you this morning. If you're a guest, we welcome you today. God bless you for being with us. God bless you, Facebook family, and all out there on the Now Network. We welcome you. God bless you. You're here for a great grace message from the Lord this morning. He loves you so very much. Amen. What the angels announced was to be not for just some people, but for all people. Not for just a select group of people, but for the entire world to receive. This was what was so great about the gospel message. It's not for just, this person or that person, but the grace message is for whosoever will. Amen? The grace message is for all people. And when the angels made this announcement, they made it to these shepherds, but they made it to the whole earth, to everyone, of this good news of the Savior Jesus Christ. There's many thoughts on Christmas, and the world is kind of messed up this season with all the commercialism and everything that goes on there. But the greatest thing about Christmas is Jesus Christ coming to this world as a baby, taking on this human element, amen, going through this life without sin and dying on the cross as the perfect sacrifice that you and I may have complete forgiveness of sin and life eternal. Thank God for that. Amen. Most people are aware simply that a Savior was born, but it's also important to consider he came to save us from sin. We find that answer in Matthew 1:21. Look what it says. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's why Jesus came. He came to set us right with God. He came to put us in a right relationship with God. Amen. And if we go back over to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 14, there's some translations, including this one. It says, well, not this one, but the King James says, peace among men. But that's not what the angel said. Jesus did not come for everyone to be at peace with one another. How many realize that? We can tell by looking around and seeing what's going on in this present world that there's not peace among men. There's conflicts going on. There's riots going on. There's wars still going on. There's all types of things going on among men. Think not, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34, 36, listen to this, Matthew 10, 34 and 36, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now you know why you don't get along with your mother-in-law. Right? This is what Jesus said. So it seems so contradictory to what the angel said. But here's the thing. Matthew 24, 6 through 7. Look at this. I just want to show you another one. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that your heart not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Wow. Does that sound like peace to you? No. So the angel was not announcing peace on earth between other people, but he was announcing peace and goodwill towards men from God. It wasn't about us as people. It is us between God and what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It is through Christ that we have this now relationship with God that we can enter into the very holy place, the Holy of Holies, and worship God from this temple. This temple now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple that God resides in by faith in Jesus Christ in me. Before Christ came, sin stood in the way. In the Old Testament, they had to offer up a sacrifice continually that continually reminded them of their sin and that their sin was covered so they would not die or perish when they came before God. But in the New Covenant, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So now you and I no longer have to be sin conscious because God has eradicated our sin because of Jesus Christ and put us in a position of righteousness to celebrate Christmas every day of the year and give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Three of you are. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. He is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 6 and 7, the word nations is translated from the Greek word ethnos, which is the word ethnic. So there are currently plenty of conflict among ethnic groups today, unfortunately. The angel was not announcing peace on earth between other people, but peace and goodwill from men to God. Previously, God was at war with us. He was at war against man's sin. God hates sin, but God loves you. God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. And where sin abounds, the Bible says in the New Covenant, grace does much more abound. I used to hear people, you know, and so much of the church, put emphasis on sin instead of on forgiveness. And I'd hear people say, you know, well, a revival broke out, but it stopped, and the reason it stopped because of sin. Well, that didn't make any sense to me, because if it stopped because of sin, it would never started because of sin. Just saying, amen. Oh, there was a great move of God, but it stopped because of sin. Well, it would have never started because of sin. The church has put so much emphasis on sin instead of on the forgiveness that Christ has brought and eradicated sin. Sin has been eradicated. Not the action. You can still sin, but the forgiveness of sin has been eradicated forever through Jesus Christ. Through one sacrifice, he's forgiven all sin once and for all. You can still choose to sin. But if you're a believer this morning, your sin has been forgiven. You will not be held accountable for your sin any longer. You'll be held accountable for your actions of sin. Hello. If you go out and shoot somebody this morning, you're going to be held accountable for murder. You'll go to jail, but you'll go to jail forgiven. Turn to somebody and say, that's good news. Amen. I don't want to put any thoughts in your head right now. Amen. Praise God. If you go and steal, you'll be held accountable. If you're caught, you're going to be held accountable, right? But you're going to be forgiven. Christ has redeemed us. He has forgiven us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law said that we were all guilty. But Christ came and says, now we're all free and we're all forgiven. Boy, that is some real good news. Amen. So the anger and the punishment and the condemnation of the old covenant is no longer seen in the new covenant, because God, through Jesus Christ, Jesus appeased the wrath of God that was pointed towards you and me. He appeased it. He took it on himself. Amen. Jesus was the peace offering for you and I. He was the spotless lamb that they presented. And in the old covenant, in the peace offering, it was a free offering. It was a free gift that the giver would bring. He would bring a lamb. They would slay the lamb. They would sprinkle the blood. They'd take the priest. The priest would take the breast of the lamb, which was given to them to feed on, and he would wave it before the Lord. The priest got the best portion. And he would eat that breast of the lamb and feed on the lamb. We are now the priestly kinghood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. Amen. And God says, come and dine and feed on me. I want to give you my best portion today. Amen. I don't want you to settle for leftovers. He gave us the best. Praise God. And then they would take the thigh of the lamb, and they would do a heave offering with the thigh of the lamb. And those that had the thigh of the lamb was given back for them to eat, and it represented strength. But what we have is a wave offering and a heave offering, which represented the cross that Jesus Christ came to give us peace with God, hallelujah, forever and ever and ever, because of what he's done on, hallelujah, on the cross. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching good to you this morning. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the good news that the war has ended between God and man. The gospel is the good news that God's no longer mad at you. Man, that should make your baby jump. Amen. God is no longer mad at you. That is an awesome thing. It is the good news that Jesus delivered us and paid the price to stop God's wrath on us because of sin. God loves us so much, he wants to extend all of his blessings towards us now because of Jesus Christ. We are the benefactor of everything that Jesus did for us, and we receive all the blessings of God upon our lives today because of what Christ has done. Romans 2:4. Look at this. Amen. Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, the goodness of God leads what? To repentance. Not the wrath of God, not the harshness of God, but all of a sudden you realize one day, man, God has been so good to me, better to me than myself, amen? And the word simply repentance there is a word to change your mind, change your position, and go the other way, amen? So when we receive and understand God's goodness on our life, God's goodness has such an effect on our life that we no longer are attracted to the things that we used to be attracted to. Amen. In fact, we change our mind, we change our thought, we change our position, and we might have been heading south, but now we're going north. Hallelujah. Amen. God's strategy for dealing with man's sin is to be good to us, and that goodness changes our mind. It is to the good things for us that we do not deserve, and he shows us his mercy every day. Mercy is when we do not get the bad that we deserve. Mercy is when we do not get the bad that we deserve. But some people still have this law philosophy, do bad, get bad, do good, get good. God says you can do bad and still get good. Wow! You know what that's called? That's called grace. You don't deserve it, but God's still good to you even when you do bad. Hallelujah. Man, that is mind-blowing, amen? Because I was part of that do good, get good, do bad, get bad. But I understand that God loves me so much and the sacrifice was so complete on the cross that even if I blow it, God still loves me and his mercy is extended to me and his goodness is there every day and every morning. Wow. That should give you hope. Turn to somebody and say, that should give you hope. Turn to somebody else and say, especially as many times as you blew it. Amen. Listen, God is not responsible for bad things that happen in this world. God is not the author of bad things. There is a devil. There is an enemy. He is on the loose. We don't give him power. We don't give him credit. But things that steal, kill, and destroy are not from God. God came to give us abundant life and to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, John 10:10. It's the enemy that comes steal, kill, and destroy. Sickness and disease are not from God. They are not a part of the new covenant. God wants us to walk in our healing. Amen? God is just, and justice required that someone pay the price for our sins. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus paid it in full. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I love this. Amen. For you are bought with a price. Turn to somebody and say, you've been purchased. Amen. You are bought with a price. Therefore, what do we do with that? Therefore, we glorify God. Where? In our body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to God this morning. Amen? God is living in this temple today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 19. You know the scripture. I want to give it to you again this morning. I want to share something here with you. Amen? Therefore, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad old things have passed away? Praise God. All things have become new. Where does it become new at? Became new in your spirit. Your spirit, man, is brand new. Your spirit, man, is eternal. Your spirit, man, is more alive, really, than this natural body, because this natural body will decay over time, but your spirit, man, is renewed day by day. Next verse, amen. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we should reconcile others to Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. The word imputing simply means placing on them their trespasses. He didn't impute it and place on us our trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So therefore, if God has done that for us, we shouldn't do it to others as well. Turn to somebody and say, that's a real good word. Amen. If God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and he says, I'm not going to impute that trespass, then we should not impute trespasses unto other people. We should quickly forgive them, just like God has forgiven us. Amen. The word reconciliation is talking about making peace. God was no longer holding us accountable. Instead, he imputed our sins to Jesus, making Jesus accountable for our sins. Jesus became what we were so we could become what he is. There's a great exchange. He took our sin, all of our sin. We took all of his righteousness. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, you are so righteous this morning. Turn to someone and say, you are a righteous brother. You never close your eyes. No, never mind. You are righteous in front of God today. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I did last. It doesn't matter. You're righteous in front of God. You don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. No, no, no. You're righteous in front of God. His righteousness in you is forever because of Jesus Christ. In fact, you have been sealed in your spirit with the Spirit. You can't work to get any more righteous. Hello? The more you focus on Christ and what he's done for you, you'll naturally become more righteous in your actions. You'll naturally portray the fruit of the Spirit. A tree doesn't have to strain. I never heard a tree out there going, oh, man, I got to get some fruit out there. No, a tree naturally produces fruit. If it's an apple tree, it's going to naturally produce apple. As a believer, you're going to naturally produce fruit of the Spirit in your life, not through stress and strain, but just by focusing on Jesus. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was like a lightning rod that drew all the judgment of God unto himself. He not only bore our sin, he actually became sin. He was made sin. Him made him to be sin for us. John 12:27-32. Can you put this up in the King James? John 12:27-32. Amen. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Wow. Next verse. Amen. 27-32. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Somebody should shout right there. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We used to sing, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. For if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We were wrong, we were wrong. So many people have thought this 30-second passage means that if God is properly glorified in our preaching or in our service, he will draw all people into himself. That's not what it says. The word men there in the original is not there. It's not. If you could see it, and maybe you can, it looks like it's all italicized, but if you open up your King James, it's italicized, and it means the writers put that there. And the translators put the word there in italics for their benefit, but it's out of context. what he was saying is, I will draw all judgment to myself like a lightning rod. Jesus was perfectly judged so you and I would not have to ever be judged. Woo! Amen. In fact, he took our judgment so you and I will never have to receive judgment from God. Man, isn't that some good news this morning? Hallelujah. He took it all. Amen. Listen to this. Isaiah 52:14. Look at this. Isaiah 52:14. Now, look, I want you to hear. I want you to open up your ears, and I want you to hear this morning. Turn to somebody next to you and say, open up your spiritual ears. As many as were astonished at thee. This is a prophetic word of Christ in his suffering. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. What is he saying? Listen to this. Every murderer, all the perversion, every vile, imaginable sin. Listen to this. All sickness, all disease ever known to mankind actually entered into the physical human body of Jesus. He was marred more to the point that he was unrecognizable as a human being. They could not just happen from physical beating, especially since the word says not a single bone was broken. The body was disfigured in such a way, I believe, from cancers, tumors, diseases, deformities, and every human suffering known to man. Jesus took it on himself. And that's why the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And that's why Peter said, looking back, by his stripes we were healed. Every disease, sickness, and sin known to man was put upon Jesus so you and I would not have to face any sickness, sin known to man. God has divine health for you this morning. God has divine healing for you today if you're sick in your body. God wants you well and enjoying life in every aspect of life. God does not want you sick in any place of your body, no matter what the report of the doctor says. You choose to believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord says you are healed, you are whole, you are made well in every area of your life. No sickness or disease can come against your blood-bought body in the name of Jesus today. Come on, somebody, you believe that this morning? Amen and amen. Don't settle in to something that's been diagnosed over you by mankind, because mankind does not have the final word. Jesus has the final word, and he said, it is finished. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we receive what God has. God wants you to be a receiver today. Be a receiver of his goodness today. God is in the giving business. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's among men. But when it comes to God, it's more blessed for us to receive from him. He is the one that wants you to receive your healing this morning. He's already paid the price. He's already purchased it. Only thing you have to do is open up your heart and believe and say, thank you, Lord. I am strong in my body. Start confessing out of your mouth what the Bible says about you. I am strong in my body. I see perfect 20/20 vision. I've got great hearing, amen? I've got good taste of smell and senses, and all things are working in my body. Everything's functioning the way it's designed to function. Tumors have to leave my body in the name of Jesus. Tumors are not from the Lord. I don't receive that. In Jesus' name, I receive everything God has for me. Heart failure, cancer, they're eradicated. Jesus took it all That's why the Bible says he was marred than any man. Wow. Aren't you glad? It is, baby. Matthew 27:46. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father turned his back for a brief moment because he couldn't look at sin on his son. He did that so you and I would never have to be forsaken. The grief, the pain, and worst of all, the separation from God, so you and I would never have to be separated from God. When we say God is judging our sins as individuals or as a corporate nation, we are voiding what Jesus did on the cross. Oh, this COVID thing, it's a judgment from God. Lie. That's double jeopardy. What Jesus did was forgive sin completely. Every sin. Amen? Every sin. Doesn't matter. It's gone. Your sin yesterday, today, and forever has been eradicated by the blood of Jesus. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you know, you're just giving people a license to sin. No, people don't need a license to sin. They sin well without a license. Right? They don't need a license, right? No, no. When you understand how much God loves you, it's like sin has no desire for you anymore. It's like, wow, God loves me so much, man. And all of a sudden, you're just, before you know it, you start believing how righteous God has made you, then you start walking in that righteousness. You don't have to go out and do these stupid things. Amen? Because you know you've been free, and you just walk in your freedom. And besides that, to continue to be in sin is just stupid. Turn to somebody and say, don't be stupid. You're just opening the door for the enemy to come in, man. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. Amen. Wow. So focus on the peace offering that God has given us, Jesus Christ. If we receive for ourselves what Jesus did, we have been reconciled. Amen? Jesus made the difference in how God relates to man. God's wrath is over. Thank you, Lord. The issue is not sin, but about the payment for it. Jesus himself was the payment, and all we need to do is receive the payment for what he's done. Hallelujah. To impute something or to hold it against someone, God is not holding against us anything but blessings. Man, all the blessings, the Bible says, all the promises of God are yes and amen through Christ Jesus. That's who we have. God unleashed all of heaven through Christ for us. He reversed the curse way past back to Adam where it first began. Now we have a Garden of Eden experience every day. Isn't that awesome? Praise God Almighty. The mistake we make is tying God's ability to our goodness. That limits us when we can do for us because it is based on our actions. Let me read this again. The mistake we make is tying God's ability to our goodness. We have a Santa Claus theology. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you... Well, he's a creepy guy. He knows when you're away. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. We limit God because of his goodness, because we base it on our actions instead of on what he's done. God's ability to bless us is not based on your goodness, but on his goodness. Amen. And that is the Christmas story. That is the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we celebrate this season that we're getting ready to enter into, is because we are forgiven people, completely set free, amen, and made righteous in Jesus Christ. Let's stand this morning, amen. Come on, give God some praise today, amen. Hallelujah. Do I have any righteous people in this place this morning, amen? Hallelujah. I want you to say with me, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, grace has saved me. Say, thank God for his unmerited, undeserved favor showing up on me. Woo! You got favor now, man. You got favor with God and with man. Do you realize that? You are a favored person today. In fact, you're his favorite. Well, no, I'm his favorite, but you might be second. Amen. You are favored with God today. God's favor is all over you today because of what Jesus has done for you. Man, start believing and just receiving everything God has for you. Raise your hands this morning. Let's confess to the Lord. Lord, thank you. I am forgiven completely because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the cross, for what you've done, and by your stripes, I am the healer of the Lord. I receive my healing today in every area of my life. I'm walking out of here different than I came in Jesus' name, completely whole in every way, in the name of Jesus. Turn to five people this morning and tell them, God is a good, good God. Would you do that today?